Could you turn now once again to God's Word, and we're in John chapter 14, and we're going to read those first seven verses again. We read them the last two Lord's Day, and we'll read them one more time, the first seven verses of this wonderfully comforting passage to the disciples of our Lord and to every believer today. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Christ speaks to the 11. Judas has departed. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Well, we've been looking for the last 2 weeks, and we come to the third and last study of these first seven verses of the Gospel of John. And our main heading has been Christ's remedy for a troubled heart. And it's kind of hard for us to put ourselves into the disciples' shoes, but they really felt lost. And their physical kingdom that they were anticipating was gone. And Jesus is telling them he's going to die, he's going to suffer, and he's going to go away. And they can't follow him, not now, where he is going. Well, today is the third part. Part one, you may remember, was consider your God. God is greater than your hearts. Believe in God. This is the first remedy. Believe equally. Believe also in me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in God. Trust also in Christ. This is a remedy for the troubled heart. And last Lord's Day in part two, we considered the second of three remedies. Consider your home. And this was part of their problem. Their home was here. They were looking for a better place on earth. We had two main points. This world is not your home. And secondly, home is where the heart is, and Jesus will take us there. And it is this certain hope of heaven and all its glories for every true believer that serves as a reminder to each one of us, does it not, that this world is just our temporary tent. We're just going camping here, and it's a training ground. It's our place of sanctification by God's word to fit us for heaven. This should be a great comfort to us as we face trials and temptations and infirmities in this life, together with all the joys and the comforts of the gospel afforded to every believer in God's numerous and kind providences to us. And sometimes we just talk about the infirmities, but we are blessed in heavenly places. Furthermore, it's the consideration of this sure, certain, and blessed hope of heaven and the perfecting of both body and soul that we long for and look to in his glorious appearing, where Jesus will come in his Father's glory and take us to his Father's house that he has been preparing for those who love him. Great words of comfort. And today we come to the third remedy for the troubled heart, and namely, consider the rite of passage. And this is our main heading for today. Consider the rite of passage. And we have four simple points today, and they come right out of the text. And this is the old, old story that's ever new. And there's nothing new here today, but we can worship God and glory in this great comfort, the rite of passage. Our text is verse 4 to verse 7. If you have your Bibles open there, we will not read it again. Verses 4 to 7, it starts with Thomas's question, doubting Thomas again. Jesus has been telling them these things, and yet, no, we don't know. Suddenly they don't know, and we like that, aren't we, when we put on the spot. And really, we say stupid things sometimes. And so we have before us also a good example of how, through the foolishness and the comments of an ignorant disciple, Christ brings out some great truths to his people. And it's through the complaint of Thomas that we owe one of the grandest texts of Scripture. Is it not? If Thomas had not said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Well, Christ knew. And he knew their troubled hearts. And he knew that they were like, what, you're going? We've been with you 3 years. We've seen miracles. You can do anything. Now you're going to hand yourself over, betrayed by one of the 12, be crucified, dead and buried, and then you're going to your Father. What about us? Well, this great passage has also become one of the pillars, one of the great pillars of the Christian faith. In fact, the five solas that we hold to as Reformed Baptists, Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, glory to God alone, is based so much on these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful passage of Scripture. Number one, four sub-points. Number one, Christ himself is our rite of passage to the Father. Christ himself is our rite of passage to the Father. Jesus said to them, I am the way. We don't know the way to go. Jesus says, I am the way. I hate the feeling when you get lost. And I don't mean lost. I mean utterly lost. You're in a totally new and unfamiliar place. Your cell phone is dead. You have no GPS. You have no map. And perhaps you do what most men don't do and just stop and ask for directions. And the man says, we'll figure it out. I was just getting my bearings. I kind of know where I am. Half an hour later, you're more lost. When I came to this country from little South Africa that fits inside Texas, where our biggest highways have maybe four or five lanes, and they're not that full either, I get stuck in the middle of New York City. They don't give me a GPS. I have a cell phone, but I don't have anyone I can call. I'm new in the country, and then I'm lost. I'm truly lost. What a terrible feeling. And to give you one example, I was in New York City with my family. It was nighttime, and we were exploring. I actually don't know what we were doing, but we were going to Staten Island. Well, New York City is made up of islands. You can't get to the other one or the other except by a bridge, except for the Bronx. That's the only part that's on the New York mainland. Everything is islands. And I had an address, and this time I had a GPS, but I couldn't get there. And I went down the west side of Manhattan, down, the GPS said keep going, and then there was Canal Street, no more avenues, which makes it a lot easier, and no more horizontal streets that make it easier, rather avenues are this way and the streets are this way, and we get to Battery Park, and there's the water. And it says, this road, keep going. This road carries on in Staten Island. Problem is, Staten Island is across the bay. You can't get to Staten Island. There's four bridges, three from New Jersey side and the Verrazano Narrows. That thin, longest at the time, the biggest suspension bridge in the world. I don't think it holds that record anymore. That's the only way, unless you can swim. And real help when you're lost like that only really comes when someone says, you're asking directions, and the worst thing is, he says, go down here, you take the third right, or the second or third, the second light, and then you make a right, and then and he calls somebody else, he says, hey, you know another place? And you're like, this is not helping. But when someone says to you, hey, I know where you're going, exactly, jump in your car, follow me, I'll take you there. Oh, what a godsend. when you are so hopelessly lost. Someone comes who actually knows the way. That's the greatest thing. And perhaps this was the kind of anxiety that the disciples experienced. Christ's statement about his leaving, and that they couldn't follow him, this brought anxiety to all the disciples, not just Thomas. And like Peter, who shoots his mouth off, we have some great teachings by Christ because of Peter's words. And so with Thomas, he was expressing the heart's desire of the 11 disciples. And Jesus' assurance and words of comfort comes to them a third time and more clearly every time, isn't it? I am the way. It stops here. It's like the guy says, I know where you're going. Follow me. I am the way, Jesus said to him. You don't need a map. You don't need directions except for this one thing. Come to me. Come to me. I am the way. And you know, this lost condition of man is exactly how mankind is described in the Bible. Every one of us born, without exception, into this world has gone astray. Like sheep without a shepherd, sheep who cannot find their way, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. Lassie, the film, Lassie always comes home. And if you've got a cat, your cat will always find its way. A lost sheep never finds its way home. And as soon as the sheep is out of the earshot of the shepherd and the other bleeding sheep, he may as well be dead because he's going to be devoured or he's going to fall into a pit somewhere. And this condition of being dead is, of course, the other description in the Bible of the natural man in the scriptures. He's not only lost, we are not only like sheep who have gone astray, but we are without spiritual life, dead. Men alienated from God have no desire to know God or to follow God or to love God, and indeed they cannot. And man's natural spiritual condition is one of moral sickness to death. He is infected at birth within every part of his body and soul. And in fact, Paul describes this body as a body of death, doesn't he, in the New Testament? And this was always the case after the fall. Jeremiah 17:9 describes the heart as deceitful above all things and desperately sick, an illness that leads to death. Paul describes in Ephesians the natural man this way, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Spiritually stillborn, unable to reset the GPS or correct in any way, the wages of sin is always death. But Romans 5 reminds us in that same book, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so Christ says to his disciples, to all people who would hear today, I am the way. When he says that, he means that the Father's house can only be reached through his mediation and atonement. There is no other way. There's no other map. It is, I am the way. Faith in me is the key to heaven. He that believes on me is on the right road, the right way. The sinner could not come to God. Faith needs to lay hold of this glorious truth that Christ came to sinners. We did not go to God. We did not seek after God. We were wandering. We were dead. But Christ came to sinners all the way down from heaven. And he is the only way to peace and blessedness with God. Brothers and sisters, friends here today, there is no other road. There is no other path to bring us back to God, to once be restored, to fellowship again with our Creator. I am the way, says the Savior. You are far off. Your hearts are far from God. You are unable to please God or even to keep His holy law. I am the way that will bring you near to God. Ephesians 2 and verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Has a man since the fall always tried to find his way back to God, but he cannot. Cain sacrificed an unacceptable sacrifice. Nicodemus' inquiring heart, ready to do anything, to write a check, whatever it's going to take. The Pharisaical righteousness of the Pharisees, and even Saul before God found him. And 2,000 years later, man still seeks to find God, seeks to be right with God through good works and penance and self-denial and religious observance. And maybe that's why you're here today. In some way, God will be pleased if you come to church and attempt perhaps to keep the law of God, if I could just keep the law of God perfectly. These ways, they lead to death. And Proverbs tells us there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. It is a way to death, says the Bible. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes a knowledge of sin. Christ is the way. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. We observe in the second place, Christ's truth is our rite of passage to the Father. Christ's truth is our rite of passage to the Father. Jesus said to him, to Thomas, I am the way and the truth, and the truth. Christ as the incarnate Son of God is truth in and of himself. Like God, Christ, seated at God's right hand, is omniscient. He is all-knowing. There is nothing that he can be taught. There is nothing that he has not learned, for he does not learn. He is the embodiment of all truth. He is the truth. And John's Gospel, you remember, opens with these words right in that first chapter, describing Christ as being full of grace and truth. As he's full of all the attributes and perfections of the Godhead, so he is full of truth, and he is the truth. And the truth, Christ came to earth as the full and final revelation from God. In 1 John 5 and verse 20 we read, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true and true God and eternal life. I am the way and the truth. Christ is also presented here in John, as we know those first chapters, as the Logos of God. He is the very Word of God, which is truth. Christ is the Logos. He's the Word of God. This is truth. And remember, Christ in the high priestly prayer prays for his church that they would be sanctified by the truth. And then he tells us what the truth is. Thy word is truth. And Christ is the Word. He is the Logos. Christ reveals God, for he is the Word of God. He is truth himself. Truth is not to be found in some philosophy, but in Christ. In Christ. For he is the knowledge of God's mystery that has now been revealed, as 2 Corinthians 2 in verse 2 to 3 explained to us, if you want to note that passage, that their hearts may be encouraged, he says, Colossians 2, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of assurance, of understanding, of the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Listen to J.C. Ryle. He says, Christ is the whole truth and meets and satisfies every desire of the human mind. Brothers and sisters, we need not seek truth about God and about Christ and about life and about our spiritual condition. When our Lord says, I am the truth, he means the root of all knowledge is to know me. I am the true Messiah to whom all revelation points, the truth of which the Old Testament ceremonies and sacrifices were a figure and a shadow. Brothers and sisters, this is Christ, and he is the way, and this can be trusted, for he is the Logos of God, the Word of truth. He is very God, and by his way and his truth, he and he alone can bring us back to God, for he made purification for our sins. And that is the only way. And then he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Christ is the way, and Christ is the truth. This brings us to the third place to complete this great revelation about Christ. Number three, Christ's life is our rite of passage to the Father. Christ's life is our rite of passage to the Father. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. Christ is the emancipator from death. That spiritual death and alienation from God, which is the natural state into which each one of us come into the world with our inherited sin from Adam and our realized sin in our sinful thoughts and words and deeds in this life, leaving us without excuse. This is the truth of Christ, for it is the truth of God's word. We are dead, and Christ is the life. And by his life alone, we can live. That's why we worship God here every Sunday morning. I live because he has risen. For Christ is the way, and Christ is the truth, and Christ is the life. Remember the parable of the prodigal son who was welcomed home. He was described by the father not as one who was only lost, but as one who was dead and was found and now is alive in Luke 15:24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to celebrate. In the same way, the one who believes in Christ has passed from death to life. Even while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God, Christ died for us, and God made us alive in him by the new birth, because he is the life. This is not the first time, but Christ has in this gospel declared already those who believe in him, that is, in his person, who he is, the Son of God, and in his work, and particularly his work on the cross, his work of propitiation, his work of redemption on the cross, and in his word, what he says in the scriptures about God and about himself. Christ declared already that those who believe this, listen to John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death into life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I quote, Christ is the root and fountain of all life and religion, the redeemer from death, and the giver of eternal life. Brothers and sisters, friends, here is great comfort if you are troubled in your soul. Jesus is saying, whoever knows me, whoever believes in me, however weak, however ignorant, however troubled you may be in your soul, believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Yes, for the weak in faith, for the troubled in heart, for the sinner who can't bear the load of his sin. And he says, now I am the way. Just come to me. I am the truth. Believe my words, and I am the life. I will give you life. You may say to me this morning, sitting here, I feel fine. It's nice to be here, but you know, I feel fine. I certainly feel alive, not dead. My friend, you may be alive to the things of the world, but you remain dead to heavenly things if you do not come to Christ. The natural man is spiritually lifeless. He walks according to the course of this world. He has no love for the things of God, no fear of God, and he certainly has no concern for the glory of God. You know where you are? Well, self is the center and the circumference of your whole existence. It's just me, and I feel fine. But the Bible says, you are dead. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. And because of this, if you refuse to come to Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life, you will die in your sin. And you will face the holy wrath of God and the deserts for your sin for all eternity. The Bible calls it the second death or eternal death. Now I say to you today, this is very serious. Today you have a choice. Today there is grace and mercy. Today there is forgiveness at the cross of Christ. Today, if you come to Christ, believe on him, believe what the scriptures say about him, and when you come to him, you will be found of him. You will be like Saul, who wasn't even looking for him on the road, but Christ came to him and gave him life. Christ, in him alone, is the way and the truth and the life. Brothers and sisters, friends, it is that simple. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. It's that beautiful, and it's that free. It is God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Christ is the life. We come to the fourth and final place. Number four, Christ's way, truth, and life is the exclusive right of passage to the Father. These things, Christ's way, Christ's truth, and Christ's life is the exclusive rite of passage to the Father. Note verse 6 and 7 of our text. No one comes to the Father except through me. But hang on, there's thousands of churches who don't preach what we're saying. They've always been. And there's Jewish churches and Mormon churches and all sorts of churches. And the truth of God says, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And he says to his disciples, because they had already believed on him, from now on you do know him and have seen him. Christ is the only way to God. Christ is the only way to God. Not only is it utterly impossible to win God's favor by any efforts of our own, but in fact, we remain far from God in our sin. We have no access whatsoever to the Father except through Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. And I've seen unbelievers close their eyes in prayer before a service, and I'm like, who are they talking to? They can't be talking to God, because you can only come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will only hear the sinner's prayer who says, I believe on Christ, help my unbelief. He alone, Christ alone, has laid a foundation. There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. This is a single lane highway. There may be four bridges onto Staten Island, but there is only one way to God. There's no ferry. There's no road. There's no way of works. There's no way to earn it in any way. It is only by coming to Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. And guess what? If you go to New York City today, it's going to cost you $16 a pop to go into Staten Island, the poorest suburb of New York, and get out of there. $16, $16. Christ has redeemed us. The toll has been paid in full. That's why it's the only way, because only His blood will suffice. To the Father, there is only one way, and it is through Christ. It's paid in full by Christ through His blood. No other blood will do. It is a blood-bought way. No one can come any way but that way, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as the way and the truth and the life, and there is no other way. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So if you're looking for God and you will not come to Christ, you will never find Him. This, my friends, is the only way to know God and to be with God. Knowledge of the way and the truth and the life of Christ. And He, Christ, has made God known. The knowledge of Christ and the Father go together. If you see one, He says with the disciples, you've seen the other. If you believe on one, you believe on the other. And the knowledge of both is necessary for eternal life. And as we increase in the knowledge of one, so also of the other. I and the Father are one. Christ places faith in Himself on the same level as the means of comfort for the troubled heart. In verse 1, as we observed, believe in God, believe also in me. Christ is the way and the truth and the life. Christ is the revelation of the Father, shining forth His glory in all that He does in obedience to the Father, especially in displaying the work of God's providence in the salvation of sinners through His body. He is the exact imprint of His nature, and like God, He upholds all universe by the words of His power. And brothers and sisters, friends, He Himself made purification for our sins in His body on the tree. This is what makes Him the exclusive way and the truth and the life. He alone holds the right of passage for all those who love Him and believe on His name, for all those who've been chosen by God in His electing love before the foundation of the earth. And Christ brings us close to the Father, right into His throne room, the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. There is one door, there is one way to the Father, and that is by Christ's atonement. God's own Son is the only possible mediator and Savior of man's soul. God's holiness and man's desperate sinfulness gives only one solution, His Son. And it is the Lord who has laid our iniquities upon Him. Sin is so sinful that mortal man cannot make restitution for it. Jesus is the door. He is the only door, the only way. By him, if any man enters in, he will be saved. That is the gospel, my friends. There is no one else. There is no other name. Only Jesus is sufficient. Only Jesus' sacrifice and blood is enough to absorb God's wrath, to divert judgment and the wrath of God that was meant for the sinner. Do not deceive yourselves today. And I say it again. There is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. Brothers and sisters, friends, unbeliever here today, here is Christ's perfect remedy for the soul that is troubled. Troubled by sin or infirmities or trials or doubts or fears. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, many rooms. If it were so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way that I'm going. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Amen.